Blog Talk Radio.
I'm running away from this pain. I'm trying to find a new way where the sun's shining down on my face. I'm running away. You're in a toxic relationship. Time to be.
The Blog Talk Radio is in Union City, New Jersey. This is Dating Today here as Fernando Uribe joins you. This is the 14th of February. Yes, folks, happy Valentine's Day to everyone here on Blog Talk Radio. Tune in from wherever, however you're listening in here on this special day for lovers and even for singles too, all across the great U.S. of A. Folks, this week's edition of Dating Today is brought to you by the Mason Civic League. If you haven't had a chance, please check out their website, www.masoncivic.org. You can also contact them at their office number, 201-706-8088. You can do that Monday through Friday from 9 a.m. until 5 p.m. or visit their office, which is located at 1200 Washington Street in Hoboken, New Jersey. Now, the Mason Civic League was established in 2010 by former Hoboken councilwoman, the esteemed Beth Mason. And the Mason Civic League assists community members and groups in need all throughout the area. They've been responsible for sponsoring programs and events to promote the arts, continuing education and activities for residents of all ages. They've been doing some great things during Black History Month. Definitely want to visit their office. There's a great gallery going on right now, some outstanding artwork there on display at the Mason Civic League office. So, again, make sure you check it out all throughout the month of February. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and also follow them on Instagram and Twitter. I also want to acknowledge here on the podcast, ladies and gentlemen, Son Cubano. You can check out their website by going to www.soncubanonj.com. You could visit them 7 days a week at this great venue, which is located at 40-4 Riverwalk Place along the waterfront in West New York, New Jersey, right across from Manhattan. Easy to get to via the Lincoln Tunnel. George Washington Bridge, New Jersey Transit runs through there. Also, New York Waterways has nearby ferry stops. Also, you can get there via a very affordable Uber or Lyft. Now, Son Cubano is one of New Jersey's premier award-winning restaurants, bringing everyone amazing Cuban cuisine with just a phenomenal skyline of New York City to enjoy 7 days a week. So whether it's lunch, dinner, or any special occasion, folks, call their reservation hotline, 201-399-2020. Tell them Fernando Uribe sent you. Trust me, they'll take care of you. Again, don't forget to like them on Facebook and also follow them on Instagram and Twitter. I also want to acknowledge here, folks, on the program, two outstanding websites. First off, cromcakes.com. You can check it out again, www.cromcakes.com. That's K as in R-O-M-C-A-K-E-S.com. Again, it's a great local media site hosted by one of my dearest friends, the amazing Ashley Cromcakes. Great media site. You definitely want to check it out. Very informative and illuminating to read through. Also, folks, I just want to acknowledge here on the program, Rough Rehab. They're just an excellent local no-kill Northern New Jersey-based animal rescue shelter located at 360 Route 46 in Mountain Lakes, New Jersey. You can check out their website, which is www.roughrehab.org. That's R-U-R-E-H-A-B.org. If you're looking for that special pet, folks, and you know what, who isn't, they will definitely help you select the best cat or dog, or maybe both, to help you definitely get that special feeling that pets bring you each and every day. So, again, check them out, Rough Rehab, at 360 Route 46 in Mountain Lakes, New Jersey. Last but not least, folks, I also do want to acknowledge here on the program, Facepalm Gaming, a great local site. Make sure you check them out on Twitter and follow them at gaming_palm. You can also follow them on Instagram at facepalmgaming311. Also, their main page is www.twitch.tv/facepalmgaming311. Now, if you're not familiar with Facepalm Gaming, they're great because they stream content ranging from RPGs, which are role-playing games, up until FPS, which are first-person shooter games. It's a great online community for gamers. It's a chance to exchange ideas and tips about the games that entertain you on a daily basis. So look no further than Facepalm Gaming. Folks, again, I want to thank Facepalm Gaming, Cromcakes.com, Rough Rehab, Son Cubano, and the Mason Civic League here for bringing you this week's edition of Dating Today. Folks, a toll-free hotline to call in tonight. You know what? I want to hear from you, which is 646-649-1926. Once again, call in tonight, folks. I want to hear from you, my loyal listening audience, 646-649-1926. You can also follow me on Twitter at TheGloriousFUJ. Also on Instagram, folks, I appreciate it, at your_favorite_Fernando. You could also write to the show's inbox. I gladly welcome emails from my loyal fans and listeners, professorfuj@gmail.com. All right, folks. Well, again, happy Valentine's Day for all of my great listeners. So whether you are a couple that's deeply in love or a single tonight listening in, hey, I'm glad you made Valentine's Day and dating today part of your listening experience. So again, I hope everyone had a wonderful Valentine's Day in any event. May not be the best of holidays for everybody. Certainly for those of us in relationships, you know, it can be a very costly one to say the least. But for us singles, you know, you can sort of take some enjoyment that if you're interested in getting chocolate for anybody, well, guess what? It'll be 70% off tomorrow in all stores, such as Walmart, Duane Reade, Walgreens, and all your local supermarkets. So, you know, if you're not sure whether or not they get chocolate for anybody, hey, hit the stores tomorrow. They're all about 70% off, so you'll save some money there. And that's what we're here for on Dating Today, to help my audience, not just with great dating advice, but, you know, save you some money as well, folks. Well, again, wanted to just sort of thank everybody for tuning in tonight. And, you know, I can't say enough about my loyal listeners all across this great country. I have a couple listeners in Boston right now, a dear friend of mine living up in Boston, hearing from her, so it's great, and glad that she tunes into the program. Again, all throughout the New York, New Jersey metropolitan area, you know, you fans are great, whether it's my former students or current students, as well as, you know, friends, even family, too, that love to tune in to the podcast. Also, all the way down to Raleigh, North Carolina, shout out to Shelby. Again, be very happy to have you up here by the summer, so I'm, you know, looking forward to that. And, of course, all the way down to Florida, my boy Antonio. Happy Valentine's Day to you and Alexandra down there in Miami. So shout out to you, all the way, friends in Dallas, Texas, and all the way out to Bakersfield, California, even L.A. Folks, some good friends in L.A., and hopefully happy Valentine's Day to everybody there in La La Land. So again, folks, it is indeed Valentine's Day, maybe not sort of the favorite day for a lot of people around, you know, during the year. But listen, not all hope is lost. You know, for those of you that are enjoying Valentine's Day tonight, hey, God bless you. Enjoy it. It's great to have a Valentine. And for those of us that don't have a Valentine, hey, listen, don't sweat it. You know, it's you know, the attention comes when you least expect it. So don't despair, and don't, you know, think of going to a funk or anything, because you just won't. It's as simple as that. So, well, tonight, folks, what I wanted to do and sort of share some interesting insight with you here tonight on the podcast, and something that, especially for my female listeners, I tend to get more emails from female listeners than male listeners. You know, I tend to sort of, you know, run into my buddies a lot, and they'll, you know, sort of share their thoughts about the podcast and like they like it and stuff like that. And more so, you know, I get some lengthy emails from female listeners, and I appreciate it. And I read each and every email, and I certainly want to, you know, I answer them all, so I don't like to, you know, disregard anybody. And, you know, today on Valentine's Day, it sort of got me thinking about, you know, when you reach those moments in Valentine, you know, during your lifetime about Valentine's Day. And tonight I sort of wanted to break the show down into two parts, not very lengthy, but I sort of wanted to share some thoughts about Valentine's Day as a holiday in my experience. And then, of course, I also want to sort of delve into some more of the bulk of the show tonight, which is, you know, helping the ladies out and giving some signs to you ladies so you can sort of decipher of how to know that he's, you know, in love with you, or that you are already getting the affirmation that he's already in love with you. And, you know, tonight I want to sort of give you a heads up as to what to look out for, some behaviors, some trends, and this will give you a much better perspective about knowing whether or not he's indeed in love with you. And some of the signs I'll share with you tonight I think will be very illuminating. So, again, I appreciate you tuning in. And, again, if you have any comments tonight, I welcome anyone to call in. Again, 646-649-1926. Listen, it's toll-free. I know most everybody has, you know, free mobile-to-mobile, and, your minutes are free now. So it's you don't have to worry about your data or your minutes on your plan. You know, you have unlimited minutes. So call in tonight. I want to hear from you, my great listening audience on Blog Talk Radio. So, well, first off, you know, Valentine's Day is one of those holidays that, for a lot of guys, it may not always have the same significance. And, you know, I sort of look back in my lifetime as to, you know, what Valentine's Day has meant to me. And, you know, for a good portion, I think, of my life as a guy, and early on in my teens, and then I think maybe going on into college, you know, Valentine's Day was one of those holidays that, I got to enjoy, I think, by myself, or I go out with my buddies for, like, you know, Valentine's Day mixers and meet single ladies too, you know. But I remember, you know, going on into my 20s and into my 30s, I remember dating different women. And, you know, there were some moments when it would sort of coincide with Valentine's Day. And, you know, I sort of look back, and as I've been doing some editing on the book and you know, reading back some chapters and revising some items on there, and I wouldn't say it gets me nostalgic, but it certainly makes me, recall moments in my life. And it makes me think back to when I've been dating during Valentine's Day and what it's been like. And, you know, do I have fond memories of Valentine's Day in the past? And, you know, do I not have fond memories? And it's something that, you know, I'll be very, very honest to tell you tonight. I think it's sort of, a mixed reaction for me. I think I've had some good Valentine's Days over the years and some great ones. And not just, you know, again, I don't want to throw anybody under the bus here, because that's not what the purpose of the show is. It never has been. I think I've always been consistent throughout the entire time I've been hosting this podcast about just being real and being genuine and being transparent and, you know, just sharing my thoughts and my opinions in a way that's constructive, you know, not in a way that's malicious, not in a way that's vindictive or, one that's trying to, like, generate hostility or confrontation with anybody, because that's just not what I'm trying to do here. And, you know, it's not my nature to be that way, you know, vindictive or malicious. When I've had relationships sour, I think, over the years, it's fallen apart for one reason or another. You know, in some instances, it's been my doing, you know, certainly things that I can be blamed for. But there've also been relationships that have soured for things that are not in my control, things that, quite frankly, you know, were not worth tolerating anymore, stuff like that. So, you know, you know, as a guy, you feel it's incumbent upon you to sort of, you know, pull the trigger when you have to, you know, and cut the cord, you know, same thing, you know, I think for the ladies tonight. And, you know, I look back on, you know, some Valentine's days, and, you know, I have some pleasant memories, you know, I'm not going to lie to you. Some great Valentine's. I remember, I think, looking back, maybe, back in 2013, I remember, it was a great Valentine's Day. I remember the woman I was dating at the time. That was sort of a very unique relationship. There was a big age gap there a little bit. If I remember correctly, it was about a 13-year gap, but, you know, we made it work. And it was one of those things that, as a couple, I know that we gelled and we sort of, you know, we really resonated with each other. And, you know, we made it a point to be that couple that really was able to persevere through any difficulties and stuff like that. And I remember during that Valentine's Day, it was, you know, it was very unique. I remember it was one of those things where she actually said to me, she's like, "Hey, I know that you want to plan something, but can I plan something? You know, can I make the arrangements? Can I or somewhere, you know? And I said, well, I mean, I'm still buying dinner, obviously. And she's like, well, yeah, if you don't mind. And of course I was like, yeah, it's Valentine's Day. Like, we're not going to go Dutch. I'm not going to make you pay on Valentine's Day, for Christ's sake. But, you know, normally I'm the type of person that's a planner and I like to, you know, make reservations or do my research and do my due diligence in terms of finding a place that we would both like. And sure enough, she selected a pretty, really nice spot, actually, on the west side of Manhattan. It was really sort of like I'm going to call it a hole in the wall because it looked like it from the outside. But I can tell you that it was a great, great venue. So great that I forgot the name. But I know it was on the Lower East Side. And, you know, it was sort of different. You know, I for years, I think when it came to Valentine's Day, I always made it a point to, you know, make the reservations or plan and stuff like that. And I think for once it was sort of refreshing that I was absolved of that responsibility. And as much as I fought her on it, because I said to myself, well, yeah, I'd like to plan something. And it was sort of interesting because for the entire time we dated, I was always the planner and I always made reservations and I always picked the restaurant and things like that. And, you know, she said to me, listen, you know, the one day of the year, you know, I know it's the guy makes all the plans, you know, the one day of the year that, you know, I'd like to make the reservation, I'd like to pick a spot. You know, you always pick where to eat, and you know, it was never an issue. I mean, she never complained about where I would pick out, you know, restaurants to go to or things to do. But it was refreshing, you know, it was refreshing to do that. And you know, I'm not gonna lie to you, I mean, it was sort of like that cheesy type of arrangement where we both wear red, and you know, we were that couple out there wearing red. We looked like two balloons, and it was fine, you know. And you know, it was one of those things where I think back to Valentine's Day where it was, you know, it was a memorable one. I think back to that. And then, you know, I sort of, when I think of that one, it was quite pleasant. I think of ones that weren't as pleasant. And I think of ones that were, you know, back to, I think 2009. And it was interesting because I had just finished seeing a woman at the time, who I kind of been messing around with for a couple of months, and you know, it was fine. We were sort of around the same. Actually, she was older than me, believe it or not. And it was weird because most of my friends were like, "Wow, you normally date younger than you or much younger than you." And she was like a couple of years older than me. I remember she was, if I remember correctly, I think she was, she was 40. I remember at the time, and I was a few years younger than her. Then. And it was interesting because, you know, we had sort of met randomly and then we had sort of just been messing around for weeks. And I remember at the time I kind of made this decision in my mind that I didn't really want to see her, you know, for the foreseeable future. I didn't really see a future with her. You know, she was already over 40 and she pretty much kind of let it be known to me that she wasn't interested in having children. And that for me was something that's very big, you know, on my agenda. It still is, obviously, today. But she had made it very clear that, you know, kids was out of the question. And it wasn't like I was dating her and just, like, within a month or two saying, well, listen, you know, my clock is ticking, like, I want to have kids right away. No, I mean, I didn't look at it that way. But I remember that it had come up in conversation, I think, a little before the holidays. And when I had said, you know, my thoughts when she asked me, well, you know, where do you see this going, Fernando? And I was very honest. And I said to her, I was like, well, you know, we do get along. And certainly if we keep, I very much would want to explore the possibility of having children. You know, that's a goal of mine. And when she told me that wasn't a goal of hers, I said, oh, okay, well, fine. You know, and at that point, I think once I let the cat out of the bag, I think things started to sort of fizzle out a little bit. You know, I could tell that she didn't look at me the same way. And vice versa, I didn't look at her the same way either. Now I still ended up hanging out with her. I ended up hooking up with her and sleeping with her because, okay, well, why not? You know, let me milk this as much as it's worth, you know. But I could tell that she was getting a little more attached to me. And, you know, she knew that I, in the back of my mind, I wasn't taking her seriously. So, you know, we had broke up, I think, right around the time of the new year. And I think within maybe a few weeks afterwards, I started seeing someone else who ended up actually becoming my girlfriend for the duration of 2009, actually. And, you know, but before that, you know, right around Valentine's Day, you know, the woman that ended up, you know, the woman I ended up dating for the duration of the year wasn't exactly like on the radar yet, per se, in terms. So it wasn't like I had made any plans with her for Valentine's Day. But I decided to make plans with the former. And, you know, I said, well, what's the harm? You know, she'd like to see me. And she had sort of dropped some hints like, hey, how are you? It had been a few weeks. And she's like, hey, how you been? And, you know, I miss you. And I looked at the text and I was like, all right, well, okay, I'm not surprised. You know, I can tell that why you're texting me. And, you know, I remember that, like, I think it was a week before Valentine's Day that year. She had texted me, like, hey, listen, let's get together, or can I come over? And she did. She came over, stayed the night, whatever, which was fine. You know, I didn't really care. And then I think when we were laying there, she sort of put it out there, like, hey, so you doing anything for Valentine's Day? And it sort of put me on the spot, like, all right, well, I wasn't thinking about anything, much less with her. I wasn't going to say that to her, obviously. But I remember her saying that to me. I said, all right, well, no, I'm not. And it's sort of, I think she sort of like baited me into it, you know, and I ended up saying, all right, well, if you'd like to do something, let's get together. And I'll tell you right now, it was the worst thing that could have ever happened. I mean, I remember that night. Oh my God. It was, I mean, it's one of those things. It's just like, I think of, you know, when I think of really bad Valentine's Day, you know, when I think back to it, it was like, you know, I remember it fell on a Saturday. And oh my God, it was an absolute disaster. It was an absolute disaster. And we went out, she got completely obliterated during dinner. I mean, I don't know what it was. I think maybe she had not eaten all day. And I think we ended up going to Hoboken to a venue, because I think she was pre-gaming, I think, at a friend's house who lives in Hoboken. So before we met up, I think she was already there. And I could tell as soon as I picked her up that she was a little bit beyond buzzed. I think, you know, she wasn't even feeling nice. I could tell she was a little drunk. I said, okay, are you okay? And she's like, yeah, you know, it's fine. And I remember just having this bad feeling as soon as I picked her up, you know. And we went to dinner. And as soon as we sat down, like, she ordered more. I think she was having vodka at her friend's. I think they were just, like, pre-gaming hard. And I said, hey, do you want some water, you know, when you sit down, you know, is that okay? And just within a few minutes, you know, she ordered, and then I think it was an Italian restaurant, actually, and a really, really good one. It's a shame that it closed down now. And, God, I remember sitting there, and after we finished the appetizer, I think we were having some conversations, and she said to me, hey, you know, I know we broke up and everything, and I know that you kind of made it clear about, like, what you think of us and everything, and, you know, I miss you, and I, you know, like, I do want to see you again, and I want to spend time with you, and I enjoy my time with you, and, you know, I just want to be clear, like, I'm not completely opposed to having kids, you know, I just never really thought about it for all these years, and I haven't really met any good guys. And she said, Fernando, you know, you're the first good guy I dated in a really long time, and like, when I look at you, I look at a really good candidate. You know, I look at a guy who's in grad school. He's going to finish his PhD. He's working. You know, he's accomplished. He's, you know, financially stable. He's fine. You know, she would say to me, you're a lot better caliber candidate than I dated in quite a long time. And I said, great. Okay. Awesome. And that was nice to hear, you know, again. And she was drunk, so I don't know how legitimate this sort of confession was. I don't know if she was just sort of like, you know, venting or something, but I remember that after she made that confession, she's like, well, I don't want to put you on the spot because it's Valentine's Day, but maybe this is something that you maybe want to reconsider. You know, like, I know it's sort of the reason why you didn't want to see me anymore, because, you know, hey, you know, if that's what you're looking for in the future and a woman's telling you like that's not what you're interested in, then okay, then, you know, I can't blame the guy for saying, you know what, maybe you're not a good fit. And I said, yeah, you're right, you know, I mean. And she looked at me and she said, well, you know, I give you all the credit in the world. Some guys would just be like, all right, well, I'll just sort of stick this out and see what happens. And I think I've always been one of those guys that's very assertive, you know, for the most part. I mean, I have my lapses where maybe I stay in a relationship too long and, you know, I should know better. But, you know, that happens to any person. You know, I'm not saying that I'm guilty of that, and I'm not saying that it makes me a bad judge of character. It just shows bad judgment, I guess, in certain relationships. But anyway, I think even after the appetizer, and I can tell you that even before the main course came out, she decided at that moment, like, she just had this look in her eye, and she just lost it and completely threw up all over the table. I mean, I can't even need to tell you, number one, how embarrassed I was. And it was like, really bad. Again, and not to gross on anybody listening tonight. So, again, I apologize. You know, I don't want to offend anybody here. But it was like one of those things where it was like something out of Family Guy. Like, they drank some laxative, and it was just like a nonstop, like, flow. And it was awful. Like, I mean, I felt terrible. I mean, I don't really get repulsed very easily. Like, if I see someone throw up, I don't get, you know, a gag reflex. I don't get nauseous myself. But I felt very bad for everybody sitting around us because the restaurant was pretty full. It was a Saturday night. It was a Valentine's Day 2009. I'll never forget this. You know, there's just certain dates in your mind you remember and you'll never forget them. And I just remember, like, when that happened, like, everybody in the vicinity just got up and, like, was just horrified. And I think there were people running out of the restaurant that, like, oh my goodness, I just, it was so, I'm going to tell you how, oh my God, it was really bad. And I look back and I'm sort of like annoyed that I don't remember the restaurant's name in Hoboken. It'll come to me. It started with a P or something. I don't remember. But oh my goodness, I was so embarrassed. I think half the restaurant just got up and just left. I mean, there were people that were repulsed. There were people that were horrified. I think people like ran outside because they were just horrified. And I felt terrible for the restaurant. And I remember I knew the owners because I'd been there a good amount of times. Actually, it was one of my favorite restaurants in Hoboken. And, oh my goodness, like, it was really, really bad. And I just knew from that moment on, like, I cleaned her up. I took her to the bathroom. I washed her face. I washed a little bit of her clothes because her clothes were destroyed. And I remember just driving her back to her friend's house because she had parked her car there. And I brought her upstairs. She was very light, so it wasn't difficult to carry her. And sure enough, oh my God, I laid her in her friend's bed, and I remember I looked at her and I was like, you know what, just tell her not to call me. This is definitely a sign that this is just not worth it, and it's just not a good sign. So I remember, like, after that, I subsequently ended up, you know, spending more time with the newer girl, and that ended up becoming sort of like my relationship in 2009. But I'll tell you, that Valentine's Day, wow. I'll never forget as long as I live. It was just one of those really horrifying Valentine's Day. I mean, I just couldn't tell you how horrifying it was. I was, folks, you had to be there. And again, I don't want to gross anybody out here tonight. I don't want to make anyone nauseous or sick. So again, my apologies. But I mean, you had to be there to watch this disaster. And you know what? I wasn't even mad at her. When I dropped her off at her friend's house, I remember texting some of my buddies who were already out, and they were like, hey, what are you up to? And I'm like, boy, do I have a story for you. And let me tell you, it's funny. Some of my friends were already in Hoboken. I drove across town to, you know, the downtown bar of Hoboken. My buddies were at a bar. I remember they were at what was the bar's name? Oh, Black Bear, which is still today. And I remember finding parking and just walking in there. And my friends were like, hey, what's up? What happened? And I remember her name was Karen at the time. And he's like, oh, what happened with Karen? And I was like, boy, let me tell you. You know what? I'm buying around right now. And, oh, my God, it was perhaps the best, you know, story I had told my friends in a while. Like, everyone was laughing. And I felt terrible. I mean, I didn't want to. You know, I mean, I sort of look back and say, you know, was that mean to sort of, you know, throw under the bus like that? Maybe. But, like, who does that? Who pregames that hard before a Valentine's Day dinner with a guy that supposedly, you know, you had texted and said, hey, listen, you know, I miss you. I would like to see you again. And then, you know, apparently in her subconscious, she had maybe, you know, reconsidered what had happened with us. And, you know, listen, of course, did she talk to her girlfriends about it? Was she, I'm sure, venting to her girlfriends during pre-gaming? I'm sure she was, you know, so it's not anything like it was new. Maybe she was thinking about this for a while. Who knows? The bottom line was, pick a worse disaster for Valentine's Day. And I remember during dinner, you know, getting this sense, I'm like, I don't know if this is genuine on her part. I don't know how real this is. I mean, I don't know how drunk she is. Well, we all found out later. And I'll tell you, my buddies, they were rolling when they heard this story. And they said, wow, you know. And they seemed like, wow, I mean, she's hot. You know, can you kind of overlook this? I said, no, it's not even about that. I mean, yeah, she's hot. But I'm like, she's a hot mess is what she is. You know, I mean, who does that before a Valentine's Day dinner? Like, who gets that drunk, you know, to go see a guy that supposedly, you know, again, you miss and you, you know, apparently from what she said during the conversation, she would like to spend time with again. I mean, I said, no, this is just wrong. This is red flag all over the place. And I ended up, you know, not seeing her again. I mean, we ended up being like civil and friends. And I think I ran into her a couple of times. I remember I actually ended up hooking up with her a couple more times. I think when I saw her like a year or two later or something. But the reality was that I just said to myself, oh my God, what a disaster with this woman. What a absolute disaster. And hey, you know, at the end of the day, again, I wasn't mad. I wasn't, upset at her. I wasn't like, I didn't say to her, you know, you're a bad person. I just thought it was bad for me, you know? So again, you know, some great Valentine's memories I have in my lifetime. And of course that one really, really lousy Valentine, which, you know, wasn't, I mean, I wasn't traumatized by it. I'm not angry about it. I look back on, you know, on it with laughter. Even today, I look back on laughter that night. I remember meeting up with my friends and it was a ridiculous joke. And I just said to myself, you know, and you know, it's just really, really funny, but that's okay. You know, those are some of the funny things you can look back on in your dating history and say, eh, well, you know, it was funny, you know, and, you know, it could have been a lot worse. She could have thrown up on me, which she didn't. So I'm happy about that, you know. So, but yeah, folks, you know, Valentine's Day can be a great experience for us. You know, it can give us some excellent memories. They can give us some horrifying moments. But, you know, hopefully for you tonight, for those listening and those that will be listening tomorrow on the archives, you know, hopefully your Valentine's Day in 2017 was every bit as pleasant as you would like it to be. All right, folks. So tonight, what I wanted to sort of, you know, transition into again, and this is for the ladies this evening, I wanted to sort of give you a little bit of a pep talk as to the signs you may want to look out for that will tell you that he's already in love with you. And that's not always easy. So listen, saying I love you is sometimes the hardest three words for a guy to blurt out. And I can tell you that because it's been hard for me sometimes. You know, maybe sometimes a guy's holding off saying it because of the emotional scars that he's still healing from concerning a past relationship. Or perhaps he's just cautious about telling you how he really feels because he's not sure if you feel the same way. Now, if you've been dating for a while and your guy still has not said these, the three most meaningful words you'll ever hear, there, you know, there's a lot of reasons why he could be holding back. And, you know, that's, but at the same time, that's not why we're here today. And that's not why I really sort of want to convey to you, you know, there's always that old saying that actions speak louder than words. And sometimes there are some very telling nonverbal clues that your guy could be giving you to let you know that he indeed loves you. He's maybe just not comfortable with expressing that love to you verbally, just, you know, and instead of questioning him about how he really feels about you, you know what, ladies, tonight what I'd like you to do is take some notes and just take a look at these signs I'm going to share with you today, because I think this will tell you conclusively that he's already in love with you. And after all, this is what you're really after, right? Like knowing that he cares as much as you do. And of course, it's easy for a woman to say, I love you, to a man. And it may not always be easy for a guy. And, you know, I can tell you from like experience in my lifetime, you know, I've had women say to me that they love me first before I've had to disclose it. And there have been instances when I've said it first because I really felt it. And I really, like, deep down in my soul, I could just sense it in everything in my being that I'm in love with this woman and that I love her and I want, and I don't mind telling her. But tonight, again, you know, not every guy's the same. And some guys may really, really be hesitant to say it. But guess what? It's the little things that they're doing physically that you should keep an eye out for. Like these sort of nonverbal clues, I think. And the first one is that, believe it or not, he may be pulling away. And yes, some men actually pull away when they're falling in love. And of course, this doesn't make any sense to women. And I understand that. But sometimes for a lot of us guys, when we're in love, all we want to do is be with our partner 24/7. And for some men, the feelings that come along with being in love sometimes can be too much for them to handle. And you know what? When a guy feels that he's headed over the deep and he's falling in love with you, some guys may pull away to put some distance between the two of you. And honestly, this is a guy's way of processing his feelings. You know, I can't say I'm like that, I know when I've loved a woman. I know when I've fallen in love with a woman. I don't pull away, but I know some guys do. And I'm not saying that's correct, but every guy's wired differently mentally, and they're going to have a different reaction to love itself, you know? And to be honest with you, when he's pulling away, again, he's processing his feelings. So if you bug him during this time, ladies, it can really kill the relationship. It can. You know, give him some time, give him some space to really decipher what he wants and how he wants to say it to you. You know, if you allow him the space and the time he needs to assess his feelings, trust me, it can bring the two of you together. It can make your relationship stronger in the long run. Okay? Now, if your relationship is going perfectly and all of a sudden he pulls away and becomes cold and distant, again, don't take it personally. You know, he just may skip out on returning your calls and text for a couple of days. But it's just a sign that he's falling in love with you. And guess what? That freaks him out. And not every guy, you know, demonstrates it the right way. You know, for some guys who feel the need to pull away and put some distance, again, don't overwhelm them. Don't smother them. Give them that time, you know, because they're trying just to process what they're feeling. And that's not always easy for guys. You know, we try not to be the emotional creatures. We try to be sort of the strong ones and not show weakness. Because to us, sometimes that's weakness, you know. It's just sort of the way we were raised, ladies. You know, don't take it personally. It's just sometimes the way that I think that we're sort of wired, you know. Another sign, maybe, you know, is that he caters to you. Now, some men are, you know, they're natural pleasers. You know, they come on strong right after meeting a woman, and they start spoiling her after the first few weeks of meeting. But sadly, the guys who come on strong in the beginning tend to sort of, you know, go MIA after a month or two. You know, never to be seen or heard from again. And you know, a guy who's ready for a relationship and is open to falling in love will likely take a more slow and steady approach. You know, but once he realizes that he's in love with you, he's going to go all out to show you how much he cares. And it's weird because every guy's different. And I think the way that you can sort of demonstrate that is very different. You know, a man who's in love will cater and spoil his girlfriend because it not only makes her happy, but it makes him happy too. So, you know, just seeing the smile on a woman's face when, you know, when he brings you coffee or your favorite coffee during lunch break, you know, believe it or not, that brings the guy a sense of joy. Like if he has a dinner and bubble bath waiting for you at the end of your day, hey, you know, I mean, just know that at that point he's very much in love with you. But it's little things he does, you know, whether it's bringing you a coffee or, you know, if he's out somewhere and he just knows there's a certain type of gum you like and he'll buy it for you. Or if, you know, if he's out, you know, doing food shopping and he knows maybe you need cereal, like, you know, he'll think of those things and he'll buy that box of cereal for you. It's not about the money. It's not about the price of the item. It's just like sort of the thoughtfulness and he's thinking about you and he's very much to you. So ladies, you know, keep an eye out for that. Again, these are things that I'm not saying that they're all perfect. I'm not saying that they happen all the time. Again, these signs are very, very important. And I'll say this much, you know, another one is, a guy, you know, you can tell that a guy is in love with you or falling in love with you when he asks you for advice. You know, you'll know for sure that your guy is falling in love with you if he really values your opinion. And no matter how big or small the issue is, like, he'll reach out to you for advice. And whether he needs, you know, help choosing a new car or if he needs pointed out how to ask his boss for a raise, like, a guy who's falling in love with a woman is going to reach out to you first to get your opinion. And I've done that. You know, when I've been in love with a woman and I have a project or I have an event to host and I'm trying to think of ideas or if I'm trying to, lease a car, or make any sort of other decision, believe it or not, I'm gonna ask her. I'm going to reach out to her. I'm going to text her, hey, babe, you know, you have a minute or two. I want to, you know, give you a call and I was wondering if I could just get your insight on something. Like that goes a long way because a lot of guys don't do that. A lot of guys are sort of like very, very introverted and they'll sort of, you know, withhold that information. They'll sort of bottle it in, you know, and not want to share it. But, you know, the fact that he wants to reach out to you first to get your opinion means a lot, ladies. Now listen, sure, he has other people he can go to in his life. But when a man's in love, like, his woman's opinion holds a lot of weight. But that's just the truth. And he subconsciously wants to please you by making the right decision. And he knows that you would not steer him in the wrong direction. That's just the facts. You know, when a guy is in love with a woman, he knows that, you know, if she cares for him the same, that she's not going to steer him wrong, you know? So if your guy runs to you for advice, just know that you know, not only does he think highly of you, but, I mean, he's in love with you. He just is. Trust me. You know, I've been there, and I know what it's like to not consult with a woman on any decisions or anything like that. Not because, you know, maybe I – not to say I don't love her. I mean, again, I've loved women in my lifetime. But when you're in love with a woman, there's a profound difference, ladies. There's a profound difference. You know, you can love a woman and love things about her and certainly care for her. But when you're in love with a woman, you know, the idea of losing her, the idea of, you know, not having her in your life, you know, and sort of like the loss that creates in that void, it can be an overwhelming point of sadness for a man. You don't want that, you know. That's how pretty much you can decipher, you know, whether or not a man is, in love with you. Another big sign for the ladies here tonight is he starts making plans. Listen, there comes a point in a guy's life when he really starts to take some time to think about his future. And we're not talking about, you know, making plans for a summer vacation. We're talking about major life-changing decisions, like where to settle down, when to buy a house, when to procreate, when to even cohabitate, you know. If your boyfriend has yet to tell you he loves you, all you have to do is listen closely to your conversation to see how he really feels about you. He always seems to be deep in thought, you know, try to spark a conversation with him, you know. Eventually, he'll give you some tidbits about what's on his mind. If he starts to tell you that he's thinking about the future and he wants to be debt-free in, let's say, X amount of years, and he wants to, you know, save X amount of money within the next 6 months, then that's a clear sign that he's already fallen in love with you, that he's thinking about you, you know. Like, these mental plans, you know, are making, you know, the mental plans he's making are not just for him. Like, they're for you too, you know. And I can tell you, in my lifetime, you know, when you feel that love with a woman, when you feel that, you know, you want something with her and you feel that there's a future, you know, a guy's going to change his tune on a lot of things. And I can tell you that in my lifetime, ladies, as a guy, I know when I've wanted to think about cohabitating with a woman, I know when I've thought about, you know, wanting a child with a woman or children. And I know when I've thought about wanting to make a woman my wife. And there are some moments in my life when that has happened. There are women in my lifetime that I have thought about marrying. There are some women that I have thought about in my lifetime that I would want them to be the mother of my children. Even before that, you know, just even wanting to cohabitate with them. Like, that's something really, really powerful in a guy. And, you know, sadly, I also know what it's like to know fully well and conclusively that a woman I'm seeing is not the woman for me, that she's not the woman that I want to come home to, that she's not the woman that I want to have a child with, and that she's not the woman I want to marry. And, you know, that's a really harsh and very cold reality that I don't think any guy ever wants to share with a woman. I think when you share those thoughts with a woman, it's devastating. You know, I don't think any woman wants to hear, if you've been spending X amount of time with them, that, you know what, you've made a decision in your mind that you don't want to marry them, that you don't want children with them, that the thought of living with them before marriage, that the thought of having a child with them or being married to them is just too much, or it's just not the best of ideas. And I've been there. I've been through both sides of the equation. I've been there when I've thought about, hey, like, I know for a fact that I want to live with this woman at some point, you know, and that I want to save some money and that I want to do that. And there are some times when, you know, I don't want a future. I just don't. I don't want a future. Not that I don't future at all. I just don't want a future with her. And, you know, that's something that, you know, that's probably the biggest telltale sign, you know, that she's just not the one for you. And, you know, when you have to tell a woman that she's not the one, I mean, that's devastating. The same thing for a woman. When a woman tells a guy that he's not the one, it's powerful. It's very powerful. It's, very tragic. It can be very emotionally volatile. It's just not something you want to ever look forward to. It's, you know, those are the conversations I dread having, and I've had them in my life. I don't ever hope I'll never have them again in my lifetime. I hope not. I don't have any control of that. You know, whatever the universe, whatever, you know, God presents to me, I mean, I'll have to sort of deal with it. But I'll tell you that I'm, you know, someone that when, you know, I want a future with a woman, you know, that's, I know I'm in love with them. You know, I know I'm in love with them. And, you know, sometimes maybe there's some complexities with that, you know, maybe it's not always easy to get into that, you know, situation and to, you know, get into that mindset, you know. But sometimes, you know, it's one of those things that it's never easy. And as I told you before, relationships aren't easy. But, you know, as a guy, you know, when he's in love with you, you know, it's going to be something that, you know, he's going to want to share things with you. He's going to, again, he's going to want to, you know, talk about the future. He's going to cater to you to some extent, you know, also, you know, he's going to be, you know, supportive. He certainly wants to, you know, to include you in major decisions that he wants to make. And those are all things that, you know, will tell you automatically that he's very much in love with you. And like I say, you know, I've been there, ladies. I've been there when I know that I'm a guy that, you know, when I become emotionally invested in a woman, I know when I am, and I know when I'm not. And I'm sure the same goes for the ladies listening tonight. You know when you're invested in a man, and you know when you're not. And, you know, again, all the signs that I gave you tonight should be helpful, you know, to give you a sort of better understanding of, you know, this, you know, sort of, you know, concluding whether or not he's in love with you. But I can tell you wholeheartedly, the last one I gave you is one that, you know, if you've been dating for a certain amount of time, you know, that can sort of be the deal breaker in a guy's mind. And, you know, other exceptions to that, you know, yes. You know, have I loved women that I ended up, you know, not wanting a future with? Yes. I could tell you that wholeheartedly. And I know it doesn't make sense because you might be saying, well, Fernando, if you love her and you're in love with her, why don't you want a future? Why don't you want to live with her? Why don't you want to marry her? Why don't you want to have a kid with her? And, you know, I can say this wholeheartedly, folks, and I don't want to paint the broad brush. You know, every relationship is different. I think every time you date a person, I think that those are a different set of circumstances, and, you know, the regular rules don't always apply. It's as simple as that. And have I loved women in my lifetime that I've realized are not a good fit for me? Yes. I'm guilty of that, as I'm sure many men are, as I'm sure many ladies are as well. Have I dated women who I've been in love with or am in love with, but deep down I know that they're not a good fit for me? Yes. I've lived through that, you know? And as much as, you know, you can be in love with someone, you know, when you just see the body of evidence, when you see just, you know, you make a list of the pros and cons of a person, and you just know that deep down, you know, this person is just not a right fit for you. I get it. You know, it's hard to walk away from that. It's hard to say, you know, I love this woman and I'm in love with her, and I don't, you know, the last thing I want to do is hurt her, but I don't want a future that I'm afraid of and that I'm nervous about. And I've been there, you know, and it's not an easy decision to make. It's not an easy decision to sort of cut the cord and pull the trigger and just say, you know what, this is done. You know, sometimes, you know, we look at our decisions and, you know, maybe we'll regret them, but maybe we won't. But I can tell you that, you know, the older you get, you know, you sort of discover what you want and what you don't want. And, you know, ladies tonight, if you're listening, again, understand that, you know, when a guy has a firm grasp on his future and he knows what he wants, you know, once he crosses that bridge and he makes that decision, it's sort of hard for him. It's impossible for him to sort of make a U-turn and go back. You know, he just knows. And I think the same thing for ladies. I think once you know that a guy's not the right fit for you, you know, you have to sort of know when to pull the plug and be strong and just, you know, move forward. And, you know, but for those of us, again, that sometimes saying I love you is difficult, and it can be. It's a very difficult thing for men to do. Not every man is built the same way. You know, I'm someone that, you know, when I've had to tell a woman I love her, I don't hesitate. I know what I feel, and I'll say it to them, you know. And there are moments that, you know, maybe not every guy does the same thing. Again, I'm not saying I'm better than anybody. I just know that in my lifetime, when I've loved a woman, I make sure that, you know, when I'm ready and when I, you know, feel it's sort of like the most opportune time to do it, I will find the best moment. And I've done that in my lifetime. And something I'm very proud of. You know, I'm not going to be one of those guys that, you know, holds it in, bottles up his feelings and doesn't want to share his thoughts. No, I'm not like that. But for the guys, you know, that aren't good at being expressive or communicative, hopefully tonight, folks, especially the ladies, the signs I shared with you tonight, I think will be clear to you, and it'll give you a better perspective that he is indeed in love with you. So, you know, again, I hope you found tonight's episode very helpful, ladies, and of course, gentlemen, too. If you missed any part of tonight's podcast, do me a favor. Go to www.blogtalkradio.com/datingtoday. Again, www.blogtalkradio.com/datingtoday to listen to not only tonight's episode, but all of my previous episodes absolutely free of charge from any PC, Mac, smartphone, or tablet. So whether you're it's on your morning commute tomorrow, whether you're going to the gym, whether you're walking your dog, whether you're working out, going for a run, whether you're running errands, whatever, always check out the website, click on the link, listen to my episodes, tell me what you think. Again, I always welcome emails from my listeners, professor@fuj@gmail.com. You could also always hit me up on Twitter @theGloriousFUJ or on Instagram. Let me know how I'm doing @your_favorite_Fernando. All right, folks, again, this week's edition of Dating Today is brought to you by the Mason Civic League. Again, check out their website, www.masoncivic.org. Visit their office Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., which is located at 1200 Washington Street in Hoboken, New Jersey. You can also call them directly, 201-706-8088. You can talk to the incredible Tanya Garcia, the director there at the Mason Civic League office. So, again, you can talk to her. Some great things going on right now, folks, during the month of February. It is Black History Month. So a great art gallery commemorating the contributions of the Black community here in the United States. And, again, a great art gallery during Black History Month. Again, you can visit that at the Civic League office, 1200 Washington Street in Hoboken, New Jersey. Don't forget to like them on Facebook. Check out their page. There's always something great being posted every day. And also, don't forget to follow them on Instagram, at Twitter. Also, you know, on Instagram, it's @Mason_Civic_League. And, of course, on Twitter, it's @TheMasonCivic. So you can just do a search, and you have no problem finding the Mason Civic League, folks, a great, great local nonprofit organization. I also want to acknowledge here on the show, folks, Son Cubano. Again, you can check out www.soncubanonj.com. They're located at 40-4 Riverwalk Place along the waterfront in West New York, New Jersey, minutes outside the Lincoln Tunnel and George Washington Bridge, easy accessible via New Jersey Transit. New York Waterways has ferries nearby. Also, it's a very affordable ride via Uber or Lyft. They're right there on the waterfront. Again, for lunch, dinner, or any special occasion, call their reservation hotline 7 days a week, 201-399-2020. Tell them Fernando Uribe sent you, and they'll take care of you, your family, friends, and anybody else that you bring to Son Cubano. Make sure you, again, like them on Facebook, and, of course, follow them on Instagram and Twitter. So, folks, I want to acknowledge Cromcakes.com, a great local media site. Again, check out the great link, www.cromcakes.com. That's K as in knife, R-O-M-C-A-K-E-S.com. Also, Rough Rehab, folks, a great local shelter located at 360 Route 46 in Mountain Lakes, New Jersey. Whether it's a dog or cat you're looking for, Rough Rehab will get you that pet that you're looking for. Again, www.roughrehab.org. That's R-U-F-F-R-E-H-A-B.org. Also, last but not least, folks, I want to acknowledge here and thank Facepalm Gaming for their support of the show. You can look them up on Twitter @gaming_palm, P-A-L-M. Also on Instagram, make sure you follow them @facepalmgaming311. Also check out their site, folks, twitch.tv/facepalmgaming311. They're just a great, great site. They stream content ranging from RPGs, which are role-playing games, to first-person shooter games. It's an outstanding online community for gamers, and it's just an opportunity for gamers to exchange ideas and tips about the games that entertain them. So again, check out Facepalm Gaming. Make sure to support them. Also, Cromcakes.com, Rough Rehab, Sunkawana. Of course, I want to thank, as always, my dedicated sponsor here, the Mason Civic League, for bringing you the absolute commercial-free dating advice anywhere. It's every Tuesday night here on Blog Talk Radio. Good night, Los Angeles, California. Some good friends out there in Los Angeles. Doing some good things, being good patriots, and sending it up for the good old US of A over there in the City of Angels. So have a good one, folks. Once again, happy Valentine's Day. And as always, stay classy, everyone.
I'm running away from the pain. I'm trying to find a new way where the sun's shining down on my face. I'm running away. You're in a I'm running.